Thank you again for your welcome to the service this evening. It's good for my wife is with me tonight, and for my wife and I to be here on this Good Friday evening. You know, it's interesting because at this time of the year, the world has turned it into a holiday instead of a holy day. And it's great on this Good Friday that we can gather together and gather around the cross. And as we do that tonight, I want to read from Matthew's Gospel and chapter 27. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. I'm just reading a few verses from verse number 50. Matthew 27, verse number 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Ending there at that 53rd verse, we know God will bless the reading of his inspired word for his name's sake. It's interesting that we always need to bear in mind that the heart of Christianity is the Bible. The heart of the Bible is the cross. And the heart of the cross is the very heart of God himself. What did a holy God think of an ungodly world that he was so willing to send the darling of his bosom so that you and I might know and experience the joy of eternal life? What is a miracle? One little girl was asked that question, what is a miracle? And she responded like this. She said, it is something we can't do, but Jesus can. It's something we can't do, but Jesus can. An alcoholic who had become a believer was asked how he could possibly believe all the nonsense in the Bible about miracles. You don't believe, he said, that Jesus turned the water into wine, do you? I sure do, he said, because in my house, he changed whiskey into furniture. The power of the cross. You know, one of the things that we discover in our day that while the scriptures remind us that the preaching of the cross is the power of God on the salvation, we hear very little preaching about the cross or on the cross. Sure, at this time of the year, we focus our attention on the cross. And what I want to do tonight, and I'll not be long, there's a clock on the back wall, but I can't read it. I want to speak for you just a little while tonight, not only about the death of Christ, but some of those miracles that took place when Jesus died. If you read within the few verses we read together tonight, you'll discover that the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, it affected heaven. It affected earth, and it affected under the earth. It's easy to remember, but when you think of Calvary tonight, when you think of the person who was on that cross tonight, when you see that his death affected heaven, how did it affect heaven? Well, it tells us that the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And the scriptures are clear it was rent from top to bottom, not from bottom to top. When God's Son died on the cross, the veil from God, it opened and made a way back to God. It was the beginning of a new order. You see, the purpose of the veil, as you're familiar with in a church like this, in the Old Testament, it was the barrier to the divine presence of God. The high priest or the priest, he could not enter into the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle unless he went through the veil. But he could only go through the veil once a year. And that was on the Day of Atonement. Because the veil separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And when we see that this veil was rent, the first thing that we need to understand tonight is that we, sinful creatures of the dust, are separated from God because of our sin. Our sin has separated us from a holy God. How can a holy God look upon sin? You see, the high priest could not just decide, I'm going into the Holy of Holies where the mercy seat is. Because when he would go through the veil that separated him from the holy place, he had to go in with blood. And he had to sprinkle the blood before the mercy seat and on the mercy seat before he could even approach a holy God. The high priest. You know, those of us who are saved tonight, we're all priests. Kingdom of priests unto our God. Not in a literal sense, you know. I was in South Africa and there was someone in the congregation from the Johannesburg Times, and they wrote an article up of the meetings in the paper and they sent it. And they're in bold black print with my photograph, Irish priest visits South Africa. So on the way out tonight, you can call me Father. I told him in the church at Ballykeel when I saw that when you do, you can call me Father on the way out, and on Friday morning we'll be having confessions. £10 a time. But nobody turned up. A perfect church. But the fact that the death of Christ had in heaven was this. Men who were separated from God could find a way back to God. Because the veil of the temple was rent in twain. You see, God was reaching out to a world of sinners lost. God was reaching out to a world that was perishing in its sin. God was demonstrating his heart to a world of lost people, to a world of people who were in bondage, separated from himself. When that cry went up from the cross, it is finished. The work was complete. We don't need another Calvary. The work is finished. The sacrifice was complete. And God demonstrated his acceptance of the work of the cross by bringing Jesus Christ back again from the dead And tonight he's alive, and he's alive forevermore. Hallelujah. You know, may never have registered in your mind, but of all the religions in the world, only the head of our religion is alive. The rest of them are all dead. They're all dead. Buddha's dead. Confucius is dead. Muhammad's dead. But Jesus is alive. And he's alive forevermore. Now, you wouldn't think it when you look at sometimes the faces in the congregation. You'd really think he was dead. But it's not true. It's not true. And the death of Christ on the cross brought the veil from top to bottom and opened the way back for sinful man. And we can get back to God, an opportunity to the holy God, on the basis of the work of the cross. We have no other argument. We're only sinners saved by grace. We could not save ourselves, but praise God, through the mighty work of the cross, God has made it possible for we guilty, hell-deserving sinners to get back into fellowship with God and enjoy sweet communion with him. So the first miracle of the cross affected heaven. The veil was rent from top to bottom. God opened up the way back into his presence through the sacrifice and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it not only affected heaven, but it had an effect on earth, because we read the earth quaked and the rocks rent. The earth quaked and the rocks rent. You know what that tells me? When I read those words, I can see nature's reaction to Christ's death. Nature reacted to the death of Christ because the rocks did rend and the earth did quake. Christ uplifted on a cross. Earth reacted by shaking. Oh, I wish that we could really get this tonight in our day and generation, that when we get to the cross that we could see people shaking. People shaking when they realized what he endured on that cross. He endured for a sinner like me. The rocks did rend. He dies upon the cross, and the material world shakes. One of the most disturbing things, or even as you meditate on the cross and see what happened, is that God has not finished shaking the world. God has not finished shaking the world. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 13, he says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and I will punish the world for their evil." Do you get that? Behold, the day cometh when I will punish the world for its evil. You know, it's hard when you see all that's going on in the world around us. When you see the wickedness, when you see the secularism, when you can see the departure from the truth of God's word. You can become disheartened or discouraged, but never lose sight of this fact. God has not finished with the world. And God will one of these days punish the world for its evil. And the world will shake when God moves. Tells us that every mountain, every hill will be removed out of its place. John in the book of Revelation, speaking about the day, he says this, that the kings of the earth, the great men, the mighty men, the chief captains, every bondman and every free man shall hide themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, hide from the face of him who sitteth on the throne. Why? Because the great day of his wrath has come. God's going to shake it again. He shook it at Calvary. The earth responded by shaking when Christ died. And what will our world be like when God shakes it again? I'm not just saying this tonight, but knowing what the future holds, I would not want to be in your position tonight without Christ. I would not want to be there tonight. He have got nature's reaction to Christ's death. It shook. We get man's reaction to Christ's death. The rocks did rent at the sight of Christ's death, while men's hearts did not respond to the cries of a dying Redeemer. Think of it tonight. The very world shook, and yet you can sit and listen to the gospel week after week, month after month, and it has absolutely no effect on your soul. What an eternity will it be like? You see, Jesus Christ did not die for rocks. He died for sinners. That means he died for you. The cross affected heaven. The cross affected the earth. And the cross affected under the earth. We read in the chapter that the veil was rent, the rocks were rent, and then there was resurrected bodies. There's a record here, The bodies, it says in verse 32, the bodies. Now only the bodies. Because only the body dies. Inside the body, there is a living soul. No one denies the fact tonight that the body dies. I mean, we're all fading away. As I often say, there were times when I had hair. Don't have it today. Talking to a fella who had to get a bit of a skin graft on his head, and the doctor says, I don't know where I'll take it from, behind your ear or under your arm. He says, could you take it from my chest, for there's a bit of hair there. But I mean, I used to have her. You know, you not believe that I used to have her. And some of you are smiling. I used to be able to see without glasses. And used to be able to eat for plenty of teeth. But of a few at the front now, none but at the back. Because the old body is decaying. Now you can look at me tonight and say, he really is decaying. But you want to see what I'm looking at? I mean, you don't want to admit it tonight, but I can see the glare of the top of your head. The light's reflecting from your bald head tonight. But don't be worried, you're just in the club. That's all. When I retired there a while ago, I said to someone, I never realized there was as many coffee shops about Lisburn. And then I thought, if someone comes to the door and they want my vote for the election, I'll say, you'll get my vote if you get the government to include coffee money in the pension. But we're all decaying. Let me say this. The only part of you that will die will be your body. There's a lovely verse in the book of Genesis. I think it's chapter 35, when Rachel was dying. And it says this. When her soul was in departing, for she had died. When her soul was in departing, for she had died. And you can see there's a separation between body and soul. Separation. Or the body dies. In fact, for the believer in the New Testament, it actually uses the word sleep. Just like going to sleep. Just like going to sleep. And when that happens, before you, your nearest kin can shed the first tear, your soul will have left your body and into the presence of the Lord. I always try to explain this at funerals, you know, because people come in and they don't understand, and we're saying, well, it's absent from the body and it's present with the Lord. And they say, what are you talking about? Sure, it's in front of you. The body's in front of you. Sure, it's only the body. The real person is in the presence of the Lord. Because the moment you take that last breath, body and soul will separate. And before the first tear can be shed, you'll have seen the King in all his beauty. It'll be as quick as that. As quick as that. And you see, when you come to understanding the body that's coming out, Jesus Christ in resurrection is referred to in the New Testament as the first fruits. He is risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them who slept. First fruits is a lovely thing when you understand it. When they were coming to the harvest, they always brought the first fruits of the harvest and presented it to the Lord. And it was a signal or a sign that the harvest was coming. And Jesus Christ, in his resurrection body, is the first fruits of those who sleep. And that simply means he's the first fruits, but there's a whole lot going to follow him in to the glory. That's why sometimes when you stand around the grave and you begin to read these words in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's going to be resurrection, and there's going to be reunion with those who have gone before. That's what Calvary means. That's what the work of the cross really means. And not only means that my sin has been blotted out. It not only means that my life has been changed through the power of the risen Christ. But it means I'm going to have a body like his glorious resurrection body. And I'm going home to see the King. My, I'll tell you, it's great to be saved tonight. It's great to be at Calvary tonight. Jesus Christ did rise again from the dead. He did. If we say tonight that Jesus Christ did not rise, then the Christian faith is foolish. But if the resurrection of Jesus did occur, it confirms his life. It confirms his message because he spoke about it. He spoke about it, that he would die, that he would rise again on the third day. And that's exactly what happens. It confirms his life. It confirms his message. It confirms a Savior for every sinner in the place tonight. What a message is this at Easter? Was it Oswald Chambers who said, all heaven is interested in the cross. All hell is terribly afraid of the cross. While men are the only beings who more or less ignore its meaning. What is a cross? It's not only a piece of wood. It's not only the place that touched heaven. It's not only the place that touched earth. It's not only the place that touched under the earth. I want to tell you tonight, it's the place that touched my life. And changed it completely. And that message has not changed. And it can happen in your life. Over this Easter season, you too could find a Savior in Jesus Christ. You too could have your sins forgiven through the work of the cross. All the miracles of Calvary, heaven, earth, and under the earth. And you could have that miracle performed in your life tonight if you by faith come and receive him in repentance as your Savior and as your Lord. You can make Easter real tonight. Because you could meet Jesus tonight and you could take him home with you and you could go home a different person than when you came, because Jesus in his risen power takes up his abode in your heart and life and changes you completely. May God bless you. Make this a good Easter for you, and don't let the preacher put you off for coming back on Sunday.
Well, you've heard the challenge, and really, it's up to you what you do with it. The gospel has been presented. We've been reminded of what Good Friday is and what it's all about, and the fact that the Savior died on the cross for our sins. And don't walk out the door the same way that you came in. Now, we're going to sing another hymn, And this one is above all power. And we sing in the chorus, crucified, led behind the stone. And that's not the end, because Sunday's coming. And while Jesus was led behind the stone, he rose again. So come along on Sunday and we'll praise the risen Lord. Make that a very special date in your diary, to come on Sunday and praise the risen Lord. We're going to stand and sing Above All Powers. Father, we just thank you that we've been singing about the cross, and Father, you thought of us even when we didn't think of you, when we were carrying on with our ordinary lives, just completely blanking you, as it were. We thank you that you thought of us. Thank you that Jesus died for us, and we just pray, Lord, that each of us may examine our hearts this evening to see if Christ be in us, for we ask it in the Savior's wonderful name. Amen.